Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I want to take just a moment to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. Mount Lebanon is located in Vilas, North Carolina. We're just a few miles outside of the town of Boone. Once you leave the town city limits on Highway 105 South, it's about 3 miles from the last red light in town. And you will come up on the right-hand side, Baird's Creek Road. And we're 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We have Sunday school for all ages every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m., and then every second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have our Sunday evening worship service, and then every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. We are currently studying through the book of James, and we've just got started. I think we're down to about verse number 8, so we'd love for you to come and be with us in our midweek prayer and Bible study. And I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here in the studio. And good morning, Noah. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. It's good to be here. We want to say we appreciate our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina. Also, those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our ministries, our listeners on our different radio stations. And what I was getting ready to say is that KPGT, The Truth, 89.1 FM, that is a ministry of the Harvest Baptist Church in Watertown, South Dakota, and Pastor Lamar Whittemore. He's the pastor there, and we appreciate him and the good folks and the fine work that they're doing. We thank God that they have a radio ministry out of that church. That is a wonderful outreach in that community, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be on each and every radio station. I want to mention before we get started today, the Victory Baptist Church Bible Institute. If you are interested or you know someone who may be interested in signing up for the spring semester, it is not too late to do that. Satellite classes will begin Thursday night, January 17th at 6:30 at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church Fellowship Hall. There are other satellite schools in other areas, but this is mainly an announcement for our area. Mount Lebanon does have a satellite school, and they have several students there in the school. And classes this spring semester are going to be Old Testament Survey. That's the first class. And this will be taught the poetical books by Brother Tull Oaks. Then after that will be Elementary Theology, taught by Brother Kenneth Forbes. And then I teach the last class, and that's the class hermeneutics is what I'm going to be teaching this spring semester. Hermeneutics is just a fancy way to say how to study your Bible. And I'm looking forward to teaching this class and looking forward to getting back to school. But if you are interested, this is a 3-year program. You can get your bachelor's of theology by taking this class or these classes. And if you are interested, you can go to vbcministries.org. And there's not only satellite schools. You can go on campus in Rome Mountain, Tennessee. You can take classes by correspondence. You can take classes over the internet. Last semester, we had more students than we've ever had in the history of the school. So we're excited about what God's doing in the school, and I'm thankful to have a little part of it there. But you can go to vbcministries.org, or you can call Brother Jerry Honeycutt. He's the director over the school there, Pastor Jerry Honeycutt, and his number is 423-772-3848. And that's once again 423-772-3848. And the school, you talk about getting a good Bible foundation for the rest of your life. You may be a preacher, a Sunday school teacher. You may be interested in becoming a Christian teacher in a Christian school or something like that. And this would be a great way to get just a biblical foundation for your life. And you'll never be sorry if you spend time in the Word of God. All right, I wanted to mention that this morning. And I want to say, last week we talked about the subject, the real purpose of the Second Amendment. And I guess this would be part two today. I finished up sort of quickly last week, and I didn't get everything in that I wanted to. So I guess we would call this today the real purpose of the Second Amendment, part two. And the Second Amendment, if you're not familiar with it, I'll just read it. From the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And we said last week, no bones about it, the real purpose of the Second Amendment is not so that people can collect firearms. It is not so we can go hunting. It's not so Grandpa can pass on to you his double-barrel shotgun. That is not the real reason for the Second Amendment. But the real reason for the Second Amendment is to prevent tyranny among the people. It is to prevent an overthrow by an out-of-control government. You see, the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America, it begins out, "We the people of the United States." We the people of the United States. And an armed citizenry is the teeth that ensures our freedoms and keeps an out-of-control government from becoming a total dictatorship. There's a passage of scripture I want to share with you today out of Psalms 149 in verses 5 through 9. And if you're a new listener, you may say, what in the world is a pastor of a church talking about something like this? Well, it's very important. Freedom is very important. Freedom is God's idea, by the way. And every time we come on the air, we quote Leviticus 25 in verse number 10, where God said, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. So liberty is a wonderful thing. Freedom is a wonderful thing. The Bible said in John chapter number 8, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So freedom and liberty is a spiritual subject. It is a biblical subject. But I want to read out of a little known passage of scripture, Psalms 149. And I want to begin reading in verse number 5 down through verse number 9. The Bible says in Psalms 149, it says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And you say, why do the saints of God need a two-edged sword in their hand? Well, it goes on in verse 7 and says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Then verse number 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. And that's very interesting in verse number 8, where it says the purpose of the having the two-edged sword in their hand is to bind their kings with chains. If you study history, you're going to find many, many references that our founders made maybe they didn't give book, chapter, and verse, but the language that they used is taken directly from the Word of God. Thomas Jefferson, in discussing the subject of the government or a rule over the people, and they were talking about setting in place a system of checks and balances, which we have in our government, by the way. We have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. And they were arguing about this checks and balances in the government. And Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, "Let no more be said of confidence in man. They realize that man has great potential for evil. And to set limitations upon the power that people have is not a slam upon them personally, but it is just a recognition of the character of mankind. Man has a sinful character, and you cannot trust anyone with unlimited power. It causes people to lose their mind and become dictators and tyrants." And so Thomas Jefferson said, "Let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution." It's interesting to me that he used that phrase, "but bind him down from mischief," sort of like Psalms 149, verse number 8, "to bind their kings with chains." Bind them down, he said, from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. I'm going to tell you today who it is who will bind who down with chains. It's not going to be the one holding the Constitution in their hand, but it's going to be the one or the ones holding the two-edged sword in their hand. And that is a means for self-defense. Now, in the Bible, that's what they had. That was the choice weapon of the day. It was a two-edged sword or maybe a spear, but that was the extent of what they had to fight with. Now, I realize down through time, things have changed quite a bit. By the time we have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America, they had muskets, and that was the arm of the day. They had literally by that time firearms, and you shoot a gun, fire shoots out of the end of it along with the lead as well. But firearms came about, and a little bit later on, these weapons down through time, they have developed and they have advanced, and now there's capacity for multiple rounds to be fired out of the same gun. They call them, they're called in the news now. You hear a whole lot of talk about assault weapons. But whatever the arm of the day is that can be carried around to keep and bear arms, that's what the people need to have. If the government, if the military has automatic assault rifles, and the citizenry has single shot 22s and double barrel shotguns that grandpa passed down from the 1920s, well, they are basically disarmed. And this is why we're talking about the real purpose of the Second Amendment. This is why our founders set up that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. They knew that whoever had the sword had the power. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you love the First Amendment, which ensures to us freedom of religion, the right to assemble peaceably, and the freedom of the press, and things like this, if you love the First, you better make sure you protect the Second. The Second ensures the First, and it ensures the security of a free state. And so this is why it is important that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, I love to study history, especially American history and Bible history, but American history, the time of the Great Awakening, the time of the separate Baptist movement in America, the early and mid-1700s up through the American Revolutionary War, I love to study that time period. and my study of American history makes me very concerned for the future of America. Now, I've been studying history, studying my Bible, thinking about all this talk today about the Second Amendment, and there's a lot of talk about an assault weapons ban and a lot of things being passed around. Some people say just do away with guns altogether, go around and take them up. There's a lot of talk, but in my humble opinion and in my study of history, it makes me very concerned for the future of America. And there's three circumstances that were very prevalent during the days leading up to the American Revolutionary War, and these three factors are also very prevalent today. And I'm going to talk about some of these things. I'm going to give them to you first of all, because I run out of time many times. But three factors that led up to the American Revolutionary War, I mean, that played a big part in why it came to arms. Number one was an elitist leadership. Number two, there was economic inequality or instability. I've not decided which would be the best word to use there, but there was a lot of economic instability, inequality. And number three, what led up to the American Revolutionary War, there was the entertainment of the idea of disarmament, taking away the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Those three things had a great influence and impact upon leading up to the American Revolutionary War. Now, historically speaking, elitist leadership, what I mean by that, King George, the king in England, of course, the Americas were colonies of England at that time, of Great Britain, but King George, he would not listen. And the American people in the colonies, they tried and they tried. If you read the Declaration of Independence, they lay out the case there that they had tried over and over and over again to get some kind of hearing and some kind of satisfaction from King George and his governors and the rest of the rulers and judges and people that he had appointed, but he just would not listen. And he continued to do whatever he wanted to do. That is a characteristic of an elitist leadership that just does not listen to the people. They do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't matter what we the people says. That's one of the things that led to the American Revolutionary War. Second of all, I said there's a lot of economic inequality. And what I mean by that, you read the Declaration of Independence, they cite several things. Taxation without representation. Taxes were continually being raised to pay for the wars of King George and Britain's indebtedness to the other nations. They got in debt. They'd been in war with the French. They'd been in war all around the world, and they had amassed this huge debt. And so they were trying to pay for this debt by putting it upon the backs of the American people, who really had they were not involved in these wars. They were a whole nation away. They were across the ocean in another place, but taxes were continually being raised by King George. Some people were making out like bandits, while others, whatever they made, they had to turn around and pay. And so this taxation without representation, this unequal taxation, this idea among them, or this reality among them, that some people had it made while others were bearing the brunt of this debt, and they were being taxed without being represented. And so that led up to the American Revolutionary War. And then number three, I said the entertainment of the idea of disarmament. Disarmament has been talked about and attempted in many different ways in the history of America, if you really study about it. But if you study about what started the bloodshed and led up to the fighting the actual physical fighting in the American Revolutionary War, what led up to the famous shot heard round the world, it was when the British soldiers came to seize the armory of the colonists in Concord, Massachusetts, and they came to take their firearms away. They were going to seize the gunpowder. Well, they all kept their gunpowder in one place, and they came to seize that. They came to take that, and that was the last straw. And there's different, you know, some say the British fired and some say the Americans fired, but it really doesn't matter. Somebody fired a shot, and they say that, you know, that's the famous shot heard around the world. But it was because the British came to take their firearms away. I know how people are. They say, whoa, I don't care what the government does. I'll bury my guns. They'll never take them away from me. You know, I hear all kinds of talk and things along these lines, just like you probably hear talk along those lines as well. But people say, oh, we'll hide our guns. They'll never take my guns away. I read something the other day that said when it's time to hide your guns, it's time to dig them up. And so where are we at in America? If it's time to hide our guns, well, it's time to dig them up. You say, you sound like a fanatic. Well, I'm a fanatic for freedom. I'm a fanatic for liberty. And I know enough about history to know that when nations are disarmed, tyranny always comes rapidly in its place. Just be a student of history. See what happened in Germany when they talked about the same things, taking away, passing laws against firearms. The law-abiding citizens passed in their firearms. The criminals will never line up outside the law enforcement centers to hand in their firearms. And so we study about these things and think about these things. Last week, I started to share an article, and I'm going to go back to that today and say just a few things about that. And this article, I found it at home. I used to get this, I was on a mailing list. This is even before email. That tells you how long ago or before I had email. And I found this in some of my papers at the house. And there used to be a ministry on the radio, and I used to listen to it. Some of our listeners, you will remember, In Defense of Truth. It was the radio ministry of Reverend John A. Decker. He was the pastor of the Cub Hill Presbyterian Church in Baltimore, Maryland, and he was a Presbyterian pastor, but he had this radio ministry, In Defense of Truth, and I used to listen to that every chance I got. In fact, I appreciate his ministry, and I feel like that ministry had an influence in the ministry that I have on Blessings of Liberty. But anyway, this was something that I received because of being on the mailing list of that ministry, and it was an article entitled Our Elite Rulers Are Tyrants by Charlie Reese. It was published in the Capitol Hill Voice, September-October edition, 1996, so 17 years ago. And so I seen that, and I thought, well, that caught my interest. Our elite rulers are tyrants. Now, that's a pretty strong charge to lay against the rulers of the land. A tyrant, I looked it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. That'd be real close to the Declaration of Independence, and they called King George a tyrant. But the Webster's 1828 dictionary says a tyrant is a monarch or other ruler or master who uses power to oppress his subjects, a person who exercises unlawful authority or lawful authority in an unlawful manner, one who by taxation, injustice, or cruel punishment, or the demand of unreasonable services imposes burdens and hardships on those under his control, which law and humanity do not authorize, or which the purposes of the government do not require. Now, that's a long definition, but let me give you an example. For example, the purpose of the government is not to provide universal health care, to tax and take away our pay to pay for universal health care and you pay for it or else. Well, that's tyranny. Some people say that's a mild form of tyranny, but if that universal health care pays for one abortion and I, as a Christian, I am opposed to that, then that is not mild tyranny. That is making me, or making you, if you're a Christian, be involved in something that you are opposed to with all of your heart and mind and soul. And so that's just an example of that. But from the article, I want to read just a little bit from it. It says in the beginning, it says, "The liberals often act as if the American people were entirely unjust or insane to be unhappy with the government." Well, let me spell it out. Here's the indictment. Well, 17 years later, people are still, many, unhappy with what is going on in government. And so he said, number one, "The federal government has destroyed the constitutional republic and exceeds its authority in countless areas." He says, "Today we effectively have no constitution and no states, just one overbearing, all-powerful, centralized government which does what it pleases." Now, I just asked the question today, is that a true or a false statement? Many people would say, well, that's true. Well, you keep in mind, this was written in 1996. What led up to the American Revolution to begin with was different things that the government did, and the people tried to get some redress from that, but it happened over years, not just in a very short period of time, but for years. They made the case to King George, and he would not listen. Well, number two, he said, "While meddling in areas where it has no authority, the federal government has failed in its constitutional duties to provide a sound monetary system, to balance its budget, to protect our borders, to protect the rights of American citizens, and to conduct foreign policy, including trade matters, for the benefit of the American people." We could say, look right there, true or false, that's a true statement. That could have been written today in 2013, but that was written in 1996. Well, he said, number three, "The federal government has agreed to surrender on a piecemeal basis the very independence the American Revolution fought to establish. It has done this by surrendering sovereign powers to international organizations." You think about the United Nations Small Arm Treaty or the carbon tax for the environment. You look at all the power that the United Nations has. He said, number four, "The federal government shows an increasingly fierce disregard for the rights of Americans. Some of the actions of some federal law enforcement agencies look no different in their disregard for human life, human rights, and traditional American due process than those of totalitarian agencies like the KGB and the Gestapo. They too claim to be enforcing the law." And that was back before the TSA and body scanners and Department of Homeland Security and the Patriot Act and the NDAA of 2011, and on we could go today. Number five, he said, "The federal government, whose prolific ways have infected many state and local governments, has effectively destroyed the American economy." And he talks about the debt. Back then, the government consumes 40 cents of every dollar earned. It's probably way up from that now. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. But whatever takes place in America, the Second Amendment must be vigorously protected. If you enjoy the first, you're going to have to protect the second. I appreciate you listening. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.